Well, turn with me. Let's do our scripture surfing. Turn with me to Thursday of last week's reading, Daniel chapter 3. You'll notice in your worship bulletin, if you don't know what I'm talking about, on the inside of your worship bulletin, you'll find an area called scripture surfing. Well, those are the readings for this week. So you can start tomorrow, and as you read that, just get alone with the Lord. Spend time with Him. Ask Him to speak to your heart. Do Monday's readings, allowing the Lord to speak to you, and just have something to write with. And just take down whatever the Lord is telling you in your heart so you can go back, so you can pray it in. And so that you can do it. And so these are the readings from last week. We'll have some readings from these chapters on last Thursday and last Friday's readings. And so beginning with last Thursday's reading, look at Daniel chapter 3. Look at verse 17 and 18. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been challenged here. And what will they choose? Will they choose to follow the Lord and death along with that? Or, well, just back off and do what the king wants here. Look at verse 17 and 18. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Faithful to the death, they said, we'll only worship the Lord our God, even if it means our death. But our God can save. And then in chapter 4, look at verse 32. Chapter 4, verse 32 says this, God speaking to this king, King Nebuchadnezzar. He had pride in his heart. He had just gone on his roof and said, oh, look at what all I have done. And in verse 32, God's speaking to him, you will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone He wishes. God is sovereign. God is the one who puts kings in place wherever He wants them and takes them down. God is sovereign. Then in chapter 5, look at verse 22 through 24 in chapter 5. This king's son, Nebuchadnezzar's son, now his son Belshazzar is ruling as king, and they see some mysterious a hand coming and writing on the wall. And it says this in verse 22, but you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. And he has just shared with him everything that his father had to go through to get rid of his pride. He's just shared this. And he said, you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from the temple brought to you. And you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in His hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, He sent the hand that wrote the inscription. Then in chapter 6, look at verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. just as he had done before. There had been an issue decreed with this new king, Darius, that if anybody prayed to any other god or man other than you, O King Darius, then let him be thrown in the lion's den. Well, Daniel continued his regular practice. He was willing to go through death itself. He was going to pray to his God 3 times a day at that window. We'll turn over to John chapter 12. If you're new at that, that's in the New Testament, that last third of the Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at John chapter 12. Look at verses 4 through 6 in John chapter 12. But one of his disciples, speaking of Jesus, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Now, if you remember, Jesus spent a whole night in prayer, finding out who are to be these disciples. And Jesus himself, God in the flesh, carefully selected these disciples. And here's one of the ones he selected. This thief that would turn him in. No, Jesus got it right. Sometimes we don't understand God's plan. Sometimes we don't understand his ways. Look at chapter 13. Look at verses 13 and 14. Jesus speaking, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Then turn back to Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 1. If you're near this, that's turn to the middle of your Bible. Go back a little bit. If you're seeing the Psalms, it's right after Psalms. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 says this. "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands." And then he goes on from there. Watch out for co-signing. That's a great verse there. Pay attention to that. Look at Proverbs 7. Look at verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 7, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye." All right, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And let's look at this morning. Blue Christmas? No more gloom. Let's take a look at this. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your word, which is living and active. It is much more like a phone than a book. Thank you for it. Please speak to us through it right now. Lord, get me out of the way and let us hear from you. Let us take what you tell us and put it into practice and do your will, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Blue Christmas. No more gloom. I like that song, Blue Christmas, by Elvis. Some of you younger people, you may not have even ever heard it. Most people probably have. But I love that. I love that song when it comes on in different places. I love all those background singers, those ladies or whatever. That just makes the song to me. You know, Elvis is saying, "I'll have a blue." And then you hear this in the background. You hear all this, "Woo, woo." I can't do it justice. Chris needs to come up here. But one of you ladies in the choir. But to me, that just makes the song, those ladies doing that in the background. And what a song. But a blue Christmas. A blue Christmas. Are you going to be blue this Christmas? Are you going to have a blue Christmas? I hope not. I hope not. I hope your answer is, no more gloom. And we see that here in Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. No more gloom. Let's look at it. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod for their rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see it? No more gloom. Well, why no more gloom? Why no more gloom? How can you have a Christmas this year with no more gloom? Why is there no more gloom? Well, first of all, because the light that brings joy has come. The light that brings joy has come. We see that in those first three verses. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Naphtali was that tribe in the north of Israel. And they had been suffering greatly from the Assyrians. There will be no more gloom for those in distress. Those in the land of, in the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. And Jesus fulfilled this. By the way of the sea, along the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. The light that brings joy has come. You know, light brings joy. Darkness, we stumble in the darkness, don't we? I've recently learned a great lesson. Whenever we travel and we're on trips and my family and we're together, I'm always the first one up. I'm up pretty early, and so I can't see anything. And in the past, many times I've just had the hardest time getting out of the room, getting everything I need, getting my clothes on, getting whatever I need, devotional materials and things, and getting the coffee made and getting out of the room. And I've just stumbled around. Well, I finally have learned a great lesson, and I bring this little headlamp with me. And this works great. I don't have to stumble around anymore in the darkness. I have light. And it's fantastic. And I can see everything I'm doing. And I can get it all done just how I need to. And the light brings me joy. Well, a great light has come. Jesus said in John chapter 8, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, He is the light. He's the light that you need spiritually and in every way in life. He is your light. And He's saying, if you will follow me, you don't have to stumble around in the dark anymore. You don't have to stumble in the darkness. This light has come. Jesus has come. What darkness and gloom do you face? You need to think about that this morning. What darkness are you in? What gloom is threatening you? Well, you need to know the light that brings joy has come. And secondly, you need to know that He shatters what burdens you. He shatters what burdens you. He destroys what burdens you. We see that in verses 4 and 5. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, Gideon leading that, as for in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. No use for any of those weapons anymore. The weapons of war. God shatters what burdens you. He shatters the yoke that burdens you. He shatters what burdens you. The rod of the oppressors. I noticed this morning. I was before I prayed or as I prayed and began my prayer time, I a lot of times I like to read from a psalm, and I read this morning. He shatters your oppressors. And I just kind of prayed this to the Lord. This is Psalm 3:7. Arise, O Lord. And you can pray that to Him. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And you can pray that, Lord, deliver me. Strike all my enemies. And a lot of times that's not just people. That's the world and that's your own flesh. You're your own worst enemy. Strike my flesh, Lord. Get rid of it. Break its teeth. The devil and all he's trying to do. God shatters what burdens you. What oppresses you? What's got you burdened? What can you not seem to get free from? He sets you free. Galatians 5, God tells us, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Christ has set you free. He is your freedom. And finally, He who governs and has many names is given to you. Why is there no more gloom? The light that brings joy has come. He shatters what burdens you. And finally, He who governs and has many names is given to you. We see that in verses 6 and 7. He who governs and has many names. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on His shoulders. The government will be on His shoulders. A son is given. Jesus Christ has come. And the government will be on His shoulders. In other words, He governs everything. All government. To rule and reign over everything. It's all put on His shoulders. He governs everything. He is God. Of course He governs everything. He's ruling and reigning over everything. And that was God in the flesh. He governs all. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can take away some of that government of His. We can step away from Him for a few moments and say, hey, you know what? I'll govern my own life for a little while. I'll take some of that government, Jesus. You don't have to govern everything. All the government doesn't have to be on your shoulders, Jesus. I'll take some. I'll run my own life for a little while. I'll govern myself. I can do that. Disaster, pain, heartache, cursing, death. That's the result. If I want to take some of the government, he does better. All the government is on his shoulders. What you and I need to do is say, oh Lord, govern my life. Yes, my life's a part of that. Rule and reign over me. Govern me. I'm yours. Govern my life. I don't want to take that from you, Lord. And then he has these names that describe him. He's your wonderful counselor. You ever need a counselor? You ever need some good advice? And you ever need some encouragement? You need some counsel? Go to him first. He's your wonderful counselor. He's your mighty God. You ever need provision? Is there anything too hard for you? Anything you can't handle? Does it ever seem like there's no way? It's impossible? Well, that's what he specializes in. With him, all things are possible. He's your mighty God. He's your everlasting Father. He's like a loving daddy. If you can imagine a loving daddy just holding a small child, he says you can call him your Abba Father. That's like daddy. And he just holds you as a loving father. He's your everlasting Father. He's your Prince of Peace. Do you ever need peace? Do you ever get stressed? Do you ever need any peace? He's your Prince of Peace. He's your all in all. So I invite you. He invites you. Hear his voice this morning. He invites you to himself. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to you now. And Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that, Lord, we don't have to have any more gloom, that there is no more gloom because you are the light that brings joy. Lord, if there's anyone here today and they know they're in the darkness, they know that they don't have a relationship with you. Lord, if there's someone that knows that if something happens to them, if they die, they'll be separated from you in hell forever. If somebody knows they're in the darkness, Lord, would you help them to come to you, the light that brings joy. Help them to come right now to you and allow you to shatter what burdens them, their sinful nature and all of their sins and the penalty of their sins, death and hell. Help them to come to you and say, Jesus, I believe you're the light of the world. Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. I accept what you did for me. You took my punishment. I receive you as my God, my Lord, my Savior. And I want you to govern my life. Come into my life. Save me from my sins. I give my life to you. Lord, maybe there are others that just have acknowledged some areas in their life where they are governing. They know they're out of the darkness. They know they're in the light with you. But maybe they've taken government in some different areas. They're not releasing some things to you. Help that person to say, oh, Lord, You've come to govern everything. Govern me. Take those areas, Lord. Rule and reign over those areas of my life. Rule and reign over me. Maybe there are others that are not in a church home, just going from church to church or just coming here often, but not connecting, not joining this membership, this fellowship. Lord, if that is your desire for them, speak to that person. And help them, Lord, to stand as Chris leads us in this song and to come. And Lord, if there's someone choosing you as their Lord and Savior, help them to come as Chris leads us. And Lord, also burden our hearts with how we would give, Lord, to this Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We thank you for this opportunity right now as a part of our worship, Lord, that as Chris leads us, we can walk up and we can give you our offering, Lord, for your missionaries that you have called and placed in different places all over the world, that we become a part of what you're doing through them as we give. Lord, burden our hearts. Let us know what you want us to give and help us to walk up and put it in these baskets, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.